It's been a real blessing tonight. We see here in chapter 57, beginning in verse 13 of Isaiah, the Bible says, "When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Peace be to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." So the solemn message tonight is revive the spirit. Revive the spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here, to open your word together. We pray you'll use it in our hearts now to grow us, to teach us, to change us, Lord. We want to lift you up and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in this service. And may we leave changed. Committed to you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the Bible tells us, he's reminding Israel, verse 13, "He that putteth his trust in me." We've been talking a lot about this in Isaiah. We're either trusting man or we're trusting God. And we saw last week on Sunday morning, God's attitude towards those that trust in man, he doesn't want it. He wants us to trust him. Because man is not trustworthy, including ourselves and our own thoughts and plans. God is trustworthy. Amen? And we should be trusting him. We all know the scriptures. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine understanding." In Proverbs 3:5. "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Psalm 37:5 and so forth. God wants us to trust him. And in this passage, he's reminding us what will happen if he revives our spirit. And that's not going to happen unless we trust him. Now, in verses 14 and 15, God reminds us about his person. Because this is really the foundation of the whole thing, is who God is. God is holy. Notice he says that he is, verse 15, "the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." God's name is holy. God's word is holy. Everything about God is holy. His holiness is mentioned over 600 times in Scripture. That's a lot. And it's because of God's holiness that we need salvation. Because we aren't holy. We're sinners. We can't go to heaven without God's supernatural intervention. And so God is reminding Israel about his person. Remember back in chapter 6 when Isaiah was given a glimpse of heaven? What were they singing in heaven? "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." God is holy. Go to Revelation 15:4 if you would. Keep your place here in Isaiah. And I want you to notice, the Bible tells us who is holy. Here in Revelation 15:4, notice it says, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name?" Look at this phrase. "For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." I praise God tonight that we serve a Creator that's holy. You know, the heathen worship gods that are mean, that are angry, that have to be appeased, that are basically sinful. But those aren't true gods. The true God of the universe is the God of the Bible, and he is holy. And he wants us to understand that that should affect everything about our lives. You know, the Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 1, "Be ye holy as I am holy." And again, he kept reminding Israel in the Old Testament, right from the beginning, the engravings on the priest's garments and so forth were holiness unto the Lord. The Bible says here his name is holy. It makes him worthy of our worship, worthy of everything. reminds us that we can't enter His presence without the blood of Jesus Christ. Go to Hebrews 10 and I'll show you that. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. That is why, again, why we need salvation, because God is holy, but also why the prayers of the unsaved are not heard. Now, I know maybe that sounds mean, but it's a fact. That your prayers are not heard by God unless they're going through the blood of Jesus. And they're not going through the blood of Jesus if you're not born again. Notice Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Whenever we pray, we are entering into the holy place, the holy of holies, the holiest. In the Old Testament, it was the special chamber in the tabernacle that the high priest was only allowed to enter once a year on behalf of the people. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, God tore that veil from top to bottom to say to the world that now there was access to the holy place without that veil there. And that access, as we just read here, is through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So God is reminding Israel here that they must put their trust in Him because He is the Holy One, and they must access God His way. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that as we trust in the Lord, the Holy One, we must come to Him with the right spirit. Notice verse 15. With Him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. When you get saved and you trust Jesus Christ, that's a contrite and humble spirit, isn't it? Because you can't get saved unless you're willing to admit you're a sinner. That you're wrong, God is right. That the gospel is true. And that man's ways are wrong. The Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, in Proverbs 16:25. We must come to God initially to get saved with a contrite and humble spirit, but we must come to Him with a contrite and humble spirit even after we're saved. We must always maintain this attitude of humility. The Bible says God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace unto the humble in James 4:6. So the Bible tells us, Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. And then this brings us to the heart of the message tonight. God promises to those who will trust Him, to those who will come to Him with a humble and contrite spirit, He promises to revive the spirit, to revive that person. We hear often about revival. We even host in August a revival. What does revival mean? It's when God's people get right with God. That's what revival is. Some people think it's when people get saved. Well, that might be a byproduct of a revival, because if people get right with God, then they're going to witness more and people are more likely to get saved. But a revival is when God's people are revived. And God says here in verse 15, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Is your heart revived? Is it where it used to be when you first got saved? Are you on fire for God? That's what revival is all about. David said, Will thou not revive us again? In Psalm 85:6, he was begging for revival. And we'll turn to the revival verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Most of us know it. But 2 Chronicles 7:14, referred to as the revival verse, because God promises that if we will do the right things, then He will revive us. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Notice what he says, if my people, well, if you're born again tonight, you are God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, well, if you're born again tonight, you're called by the name of God, you're one of His children, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So at least four things there that we have to do. Humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways. What does he say? Then, well, I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Well, we want this. We want for God to hear. We want Him to forgive us. We want Him to heal us. But we have to come to Him with the right spirit. this humble and contrite spirit. We have to come to Him with complete trust that He always knows what's right and we don't. That He knows the way. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and so forth. So that's what God is promising Israel, that their spirit will be revived as a nation, but He promises us that we as His children can be revived too. If we will come to Him with this attitude of complete and utter trust, and if we will come to Him with a contrite and humble spirit, God promises revival. And I want to show you tonight what goes with revival. Notice verse 17. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. God says the first thing that will come with revival is healing. Now this isn't talking about physical healing. This is talking about the healing of our soul. The Bible tells us, go to Isaiah 53, which we looked at a few months ago, that Jesus Christ died that we could be healed. And if you study that, you'll find that that's not talking about physical healing, that God doesn't promise that if you're born again, you'll never be sick. That isn't consistent with Scripture. But He does promise to heal our soul, our wicked soul that's bound for hell. Notice He says, Isaiah 53:5, He was wounded for our transgression, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. We are healed. There's a lot of Christians out there that need healed. They've backslidden. They're not where they should be with God. And they need revived. They need to be back where God wants them. Right with God, serving God, loving God, doing the right thing. And God promises great healing to those who will come to Him with trust, come to Him with a contrite and humble spirit. He promises a revival, and with that revival comes healing. Look at Jeremiah chapter 3, please. Just over one book from Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 22. The Bible says, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." God promises spiritual healing with revival. If God's people will but come to Him and with trust and with a humble and contrite spirit, God says, "I will revive your spirit. I will heal you." So God not only promises healing with revival, but also look at verse 18 of our passage in Isaiah 57. He says, I will lead him. When you're not right with God, you're not seeking God's direction. God promises. He says, "I'll make thy way straight before your face." You know, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thine understanding, and all always acknowledge him," and what? "He shall direct thy paths. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God promises to lead us. But if we're not right with Him, He's not leading us. We're doing our own thing. We're going where we want to go. We're doing what we want to do. But with revival comes God's direction. God's leading. Look, if you would, to Psalm 32, verse 8. So He's promising His people, "I will revive your spirit. If you will come to me with trust, if you will come to me with a contrite and humble spirit, I will revive your spirit, and one of the things I will do is heal you." A lot of Christians need healed. And He says, "I will lead you." Look at Psalm 32:8. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." That's what we need. We need to be guided with His eye. We need to be guided by the Lord and not by our own ideas, our own imaginations. We need to be guided by God. And that's only going to happen if our soul is revived. He promises to lead us. What does He tell us in the very famous 23rd Psalm? "He leadeth me beside the still waters." He leadeth me. I think did we sing it tonight or this morning? "He leadeth me, He leadeth me." It might have been last week. I don't know. But He promised to lead us if He revives us. He will heal our soul. A lot of Christians need healed. They need things made right with God. And He will lead us in the direction we need to go. God makes it very clear. Look at Jeremiah 10. And I know I turned to this verse probably too much. It's one of my favorite verses. He promises in this verse that if we're going to choose to go our own way, where it's going to lead. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You see what God is saying in that verse? He says, we don't even have the capacity to know the right way. To know where to go. To direct our own steps. We don't. He says, it's not in us. We don't even have it. So even though the world is trying to tell us, yep, it's all in there. We've got it inside. You know, we have the power. We can do anything. We don't. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. We don't know the way. We need to seek the way from the Lord. And if we're revived, that's exactly what will happen. We'll be seeking our direction from God. And He'll be showing us the way. Every time we open the Word, it will be that light, that lamp, to show us the way. So He promises to revive our spirit. And then thirdly, notice verse 19. Part of revival is not only healing and leading, but this is a big one. He says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Peace be to him that is far off. The world is looking for peace in their soul. They're looking everywhere. They're looking in drugs. They're looking in money. Sin, basically. Stuff. And they can't find it. You know why? Because that's not where it's found. True peace can only come from the God of peace, the Prince of peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christians that are not right with God, Christians that are in need of revival, I guarantee you do not have the peace of God in their souls. They might put a show on the outside, but they do not have peace. Because he says in verse 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Those two things don't cohabitate. If you're living in sin, there's no peace. But if you're revived, if you're right with God, if you're healed, you know what comes? Peace. Great peace. He talks about it in Philippians 4. We'll turn there. I know most of you know this passage, but very important passage in talking about the peace of God. Remember, in the Bible, there's different aspects to peace. Of course, in the world, we always hear about world peace. World peace isn't going to happen until the Prince of Peace comes and sets it up. There's also peace with God that occurs when we get saved. That happens at salvation because now we were at enmity with God, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. That's talking about our salvation. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the peace of God. Different. The peace in our soul. Notice Philippians 4, verse 6. Very well-known passage. Well, I'm in Ephesians, so that won't work. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That your request be made known unto God. What's it say in the next verse? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The world is looking for that, and they're not finding it. And backslidden Christians aren't finding it either. You can't have the peace of God cohabitating with wickedness. We read it right there in verse 21. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Can't have peace if you're living in sin. You can't have peace if you're not walking with the Lord. God wants us to be revived. And He promises He will do just that if we'll trust Him wholeheartedly and if we will come to Him with this humble and contrite spirit. In other words, confession and repentance. That's always the beginning of revival. You find it in Scripture. Whenever God talks about returning to the Lord, getting right with God, it always starts with us confessing that we're wrong and repenting of the wrong. And if we'll come to Him with that attitude, that contrite and humble spirit. And by the way, when David wrote that passage in Psalm 51 about the humble and contrite spirit, that was the psalm he wrote after he got caught out by God for his sin with Bathsheba and killing her husband. And Nathan said, "Thou art the man." Then he repented, got right with God, and through him God wrote one of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible, Psalm 51. So God promises to revive us, which is what every Christian needs and hopefully strives for, revival, getting right with God. That's what revival is. And He promises that with revival will come the healing of the soul that we all need. With revival will come His leadership, direction, every step of the way. And with revival will come peace in our hearts. There will be no more turmoil, no more worrying. Peace. What God's basically telling us in Philippians 4 is if we don't have peace in our hearts, it means we're not trusting Him. That's what He's saying. If we're revived, we're trusting Him. The two go hand in hand. So God promises this beautiful, beautiful truth for our lives. I will revive the Spirit. We all sometimes need it in our Christian walk to be revived, to be brought back to where we should be in our walk, that God might continue to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And He promises with that revival will come healing, His leading, and His peace. Praise God. Let's pray.